Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This piece was published on the 18th of April, 2022, and is entitled 4 Million Meter Lessons. The odometer on my e-bike, and that's a link to a bunch of write-up about this e-bike I've been driving for a little while now, a couple years, clicked over to 4K, that means 4,000 kilometers, and rather than a general-purpose e-bikes are great rave, I thought I'd assemble a few concrete arguments for them, suitable for use with friends and loved ones in the likely case that you're already convinced, with pictures. And here's the first picture, which is just a little shot of the odometer on my bike reading 4,001 kilometers, and the caption says, "It's prime." It's good for you. The skeptics are prone to say that if you want fitness, you should ride a real bike, damn it. Well, they're wrong. Let me end this argument right here and now with, and now here is a list of links, so I'm going to read out a bunch of titles, and each one is a link to the underlying document. Right here and now with Health Benefits of Electrically Assisted Cycling, a Systematic Review, and Riding Electric Bicycles, Boon to Health and Not Cheating, Confirms Literature Review, and The Effect of Cycling on Cognitive Function and Well-Being in Older Adults, and Metabolic and Cardiovascular Responses to a Simulated Commute on an E-Bike. Or if you want non-academic, there's a nice New York Times piece, E-Bikes Can Provide a Good Workout. It's important to be clear that by e-bike, I mean the ones with electric assist, i.e. no throttle, you have to pedal to go, and pedal harder to go faster. Also, you have to keep the boost set at a moderate level. The Bosch electric system that appears on a whole lot of popular e-bikes has four levels: Eco, Tour, Sport, and Turbo. I keep it on Eco and switch to Tour for challenging hills. I've never really used the top two levels, nor felt the need. It's fast. I find that my average e-bike cruise is something like 25 kilometers an hour, and I get around town astonishingly fast. Note also the numbers in that New York Times piece above. It helps a lot that Vancouver has a pretty decent bike route network, and obviously, so does no looking for parking. Less obviously, when your bike path runs along the side of a road with cars on it that has stoplights and intersections, you realize how agonizingly slow these things are. The endless halts behind someone waiting to turn left or for pedestrians to cross, and behind people inching along looking for parking, you don't even notice them when you're driving, but a lot of it you can just breeze through on a bike path while staying perfectly safe. For navigating across the city, anywhere less than, 5 kilometers or so, the bike is not going to get me there significantly later than my car, and I'll be able to park right in front of where I'm going, and the parking is free. It's never boring. Closely related to the previous point, sitting in traffic looking at another car's ass is even worse. Stuck behind a truck so you can't even see ahead is boring. On a bike, you're always moving. You're way more intimate with the scenery, and if you come to a nice view, you can stop on impulse and take a picture, which I did with a picture here showing my bike parked on a little piece of sidewalk that's on the edge of a slope looking down full of flowering trees and a view of Vancouver's residential towers in the pass in the background, and also a fellow out jogging. It's a really pretty picture. It's cheap. The bikes themselves aren't that cheap. For the purposes of this piece, I poked around the landscape to pick out something that's mid-range, well-reviewed, and from a manufacturer I have respect for, the Trek Verve Plus 3. US $3,300 isn't cheap for a bike, but it's insanely cheaper than anything with four wheels that you'd want to drive, and the running costs are really too low to be worth measuring. I've had my bike for 3 years and a bit, and the service charges, including repairs after a pretty bad accident, see below, and a couple upgrades, add up to less than $1,000. I mean, this is cheaper transit over a multi-year period than public transit. And now here's a picture of that Trek Verve Plus 3 bike taken from their website, looking very glamorous. It's good for the city. Look, if you don't see it that a city with more bikes and less four-wheelers is a better city to live and work, there's nothing I can say that'll help you. But I will say this. Nobody wants to live in a house on a main road, but a house on one of our city's main bicycle paths would gain value. It's good for the planet. Well, this is hardly in doubt, but I stumbled across a good quantitative write-up on the subject from Britain. How green is cycling, riding, walking, e-bikes, and driving ranked? That's a link, of course. I'm going to reproduce four of their summary bullet points, which widened my eyes, and encourage you to go and read the whole piece. Bullet point. Cycling has a carbon footprint of about 21 grams of CO2 per kilometer. That's less than walking or getting the bus, and less than a tenth of the emissions of driving. About three-quarters of cycling's greenhouse gas emissions occur when producing the extra food required to fuel cycling, while the rest comes from manufacturing the bicycle. Electric bikes have an even lower carbon footprint than conventional bikes because fewer calories are burned per kilometer, despite the emissions from battery manufacturing and electricity use. If cycling's popularity in Britain increased sixfold, equivalent to returning to 1940s level, and all this pedaling replaced driving, this would make a net reduction of 7.7 million tons of CO2 annually, equivalent to 6% of the UK's transport emissions. Wow. Tell me a couple of those didn't surprise you. The infrastructure is human scale. Nobody loves taking their car in to get fixed. The world of bikes is less monopolized, less exploitive, and generally nicer. By way of evidence, I offer this. It's a picture of a little bike repair shop and cafe called Velostar, not so far from my place in Vancouver. At Velostar, the coffee is good and the baristas are cute, and they replaced my chain for $70 Canadian, tax and labor in. It's practical. Once you have an e-bike, you really, really need to spend a little more and get a good pannier. They'll try and sell you a pair, which I have, but I only use one, because I have no trouble getting my laptop, my rain gear, and the groceries I picked up on the way home in mine, which doesn't even look that big. Did I mention rain gear? A decent raincoat and rain pants make all the difference in the world. Now, let's be honest. When you're going to drive away, you just get in your car, fasten the seatbelt, and you're off. On a bike, you have to get your helmet and maybe rain gear on, unlock it, and stow your pannier before you're in motion. When you're just getting started biking, this feels onerous. But as with most things in life, practice makes perfect. A couple of months in and your muscle memory will have all this stuff, especially the lock-unlock dance, filed away and it'll happen quickly without even thinking about it. Well, what about safety? Yeah, it's an issue, as you can see below. And I think e-bikes are possibly more dangerous than regular ones. That's what the numbers say. That's a link to injuries in e-bike study. At least they're safer than scooters. And then there's the picture below, which is a picture of me immediately after a bike accident with my helmet still on and several ugly bloody patches on my face. It's pretty simple. There are a lot of situations where an e-bike makes it easy to go way faster than is safe. So don't go that fast. For example, I got my face decorated, as you can see in that picture, when I cut the corner on a T-intersection in the bike path, banking through a patch of muddy ground, and bang, I was on my side on the ground, bleeding. Before I go on, I want to point out that my helmet saved my life on that occasion. I recommend Bontrager helmets, another product of Trek. And let me confess, when I'm just going 5 blocks to pick up parmesan and red wine because we're having pasta, I often don't wear one, and then I don't go fast at all. But yeah, in general, slow down. In particular, I want to point out that bicycle brakes really, really suck on wet pavement. So if you're going downhill on a rainy road, dial it way the hell back. My takeaway? If you're careful and you have a decent bike route system, the benefits of e-biking overbalance any risk. In particular, if you don't bomb along at maximum speed. Now, I do bomb along at maximum speed in places where it's safe, and damn, that's fun. E-biking is fun and good for you and your city and your planet. Give it a try. That's all, folks.